shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Turn the music down, please. Thank you. I can't. Oh, man. This is all my fault. You remember Keith Olbermann when he said, I made a big mistake? Keith, wherever you are, if you're listening, brother, I totally get it. I totally get it. I totally understand. And I'm not blaming anybody but me. This is Phil Hendry's fault. This is my mistake. I made the decisions. I pulled the trigger on different decisions. I'm the guy that said, yes, let's go ahead, let's do. Yes, I took advice from imbeciles, but that's because I took advice from imbeciles. I'm an imbecile. I'm the biggest imbecile of all. If you say to anybody, and let me just, you know, well, I had bad advice. You're the idiot that took it. So guess what, Charlie? Guess who is number one on that list of idiots? You. And I've always been real big on this my whole life through, from the time I was a little kid, because I lived with people, I grew up with people that never took responsibility for anything, and I grew to hate it. I didn't hate them, but I grew to hate it. I grew up in a family full of people where it was always somebody else's fault, and I don't know what it was about me as a kid, but it bothered me. It bothered the hell out of me. Because I could see whose fault it was. I wasn't stupid. I could see. Here's an individual here that set in motion a certain events that transpired that caused this to happen. I know where all of this originated. And one of the things that really hurt me in my life is I, as a kid, and this happened, and it kept on until I became an adult, I used to take all kinds of responsibility on my own shoulders for things. That's why I was the go-to kid in my family. Maybe you were the same kind of kid. You know, maybe you were that kid in your family. You know, you were the one that took care of everybody. That was me. Well, you know, my parents aren't worth a pinch of you-know-what, so why don't I go and see why my little sister's crying? Let me see if I can do this. Let me see if I can... That was me. You know, maybe I'll bring home a good report card. That'll make my father smile, so he won't be such a pain in the ass and an ornery, grumpy guy. So I was really conscious of, you know, taking responsibility. But I also was super conscious of where the responsibility lay. And when I, let me tell you this much, folks, in my life today, I've had so much practice at beating myself up for things that I haven't done right in my life and taking responsibility. And I mean, stepping up and taking responsibility, because I always think, and I still do, that's a huge component in life. Wait a minute, I know where I went wrong, and I got to recognize that. And I ain't laying this off on anybody else, you know? It's like somebody says the real answer comes after the word but. What are you looking at?
Are you going to give us a whole speech?
Bud, he's, you know.
Well, what, is it boring?
Well, kind of, you know. Yeah, where we going? What about Mr. Babarka?
Who's Babarka? You mean Mr. Amarka?
Well, we did have him on the phone.
Well, I was talking to that dumbass. I hung up on him.
Yes, but he was making some very good points, and you were too, about Texas...
Yeah, about how Texas is going to succeed or anything.
Oh, well, okay. Excuse me.
Well, Phil, don't start feeling sorry for yourself.
No, I'm not feeling sorry for myself. You want to move on with...
Might as well finish what he's saying.
No. I wouldn't want to mess up your good time here with Mr. Amarka.
Phil, I'm just saying, are you going to go back to Mr. What was his name?
Amarka. Get him back on the phone, bud, and we can finish up.
All right.
All I was saying was...
Taking responsibility is very important. Yes, I know.
No, you don't know, Margaret, because you're one of the worst offenders.
You know, I'm not going to be part of your little group therapy here, so if you don't mind...
You're going to the toilet?
Yes.
There she goes again.
Mr. Babarka.
That's the guy from the Price is Right.
No, it wasn't the guy from the Price is Right. That's Bob Barker. Mr. Amarka is the guy that we were talking to tonight. Austin, sir. Now, did we conclude our conversation?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Andrew, what we concluded was actually what I concluded is that you wanted to be, you wanted to take what we call in Texas, you wanted to take smart-ass trail. and you wanted to take smart-ass trail all the way to the edge of the cliff where a whole lot of common-sense cattle have been run off that cliff. Now,
all right, now you're speaking kind of in parable here.
This is plain Texas talk, okay? And when I say that you want to go down Smart Ass Avenue, let me put it into California terms. You want to take it down Smart Ass Avenue. You want to take your common sense cattle, or maybe you want to take your common sense gay parade or whatever you people do in California.
No, we have cattle out here too, you know, and you don't have to do the joke about does it have horns and, you know.
I'm not going to do any joke.
No, we've got cattle out here.
Well, all right, you got cattle. All right, yeah, you got cattle, but are they Texas cattle? No.
No, they're not Texas cattle. No, they could never be Texas cattle, of course. No, we have California cattle, but I'm taking my California cattle down Smart Ass Avenue. Is that it?
Yeah, that's the first problem. You're taking cattle supposed to be on a trail. And,
all right, so you're taking your cattle down Smart Ass Trail?
No, you were taking the cattle down Smart Ass Trail. See, what I'm trying to do is relate to this in story fashion so your audience can understand, even as you try to stun me in the slaughterhouse of sarcasm. You see?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
What am I talking about? Boy, I thought you people in California were all kinds of smart. I thought you were all different colors of the smart rainbow. You know what they say about the rainbow? You know about that?
Gay?
Yeah. There you go. You people you love the rainbow, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We love our rainbow. We love our gay rainbow. We love our coalition. You know, we love it all.
Okay. Well, if you're living under that gay rainbow, here's another. All the colors of the smart-ass rainbow. That's what you also got to live under.
Okay, so I'm living under all colors of the smart-ass rainbow. Look, Mr. Amarka, I'm trying to get some straight talk out of you.
I was trying to get it out of you too, sir. And you wanted to take your cows down Smart-Ass Trail.
I thought it was Smart-Ass Avenue.
I'm in Texas right now.
Okay, so I've taken my cattle down Smart-Ass Avenue. I mean,
Smart-Ass Trail, because if you would have respect for me.
All right, it's Smart-Ass Trail, and they're running right off the cliff of the Common Sense Cliff?
Oh, man. I said to you, Mr. Henry, that you are running them off of, yeah, that's right, Common Sense Cliff. No, you're taking your Common Sense cattle down Smart-Ass Trail, and you are taking them into the slaughterhouse of respectability and stunning them. Okay?
What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about?
See, that's why you people in California aren't that smart.
All right, let's just say that Phil Henry isn't that smart. Forget about whether people in California. I'm not that smart.
What don't you get? I'm trying to tell you I'm making sense here. Or maybe I'm not even making sense, but I'm telling you about Texas seceding from the Union.
Okay, that's fine, and I'm trying to find out why. And you're telling me that I'm taking the common sense cattle down Smart-Ass Trail.
Yeah, but the way you say it makes me look like a horse's hind end. And I've been saying it good.
Well, if you're saying it that good, sir, then I wouldn't have to sit here. I think my audience is with me on this. All right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. I bet you there are more people. There are people out there who want to be honest with me about it. They'd agree more with me. And they'd say that I agree with Austin Amarka.
Wow, that was...
What happened here?
What do you mean, what happened there?
That just was wild, man. You just went...
You haven't heard someone trying to search for the right word?
Not like that, I haven't.
What do you mean, not like that? You know, everything I say here, you try to make it sound like I'm being led to my bed in the ward where they take people after they put a knitting needle up your nose. That's what it sounds like to me.
What is that? What does that mean?
I'll say it again, sir.
Are you using some more of that Texas talk?
You know, Mr. Henry...
No, I mean it. Are you...
All right, let me put it into Texas talk. The way you're treating me is the way they treat people when they take them into the bunkhouse where they lay them out after they put a needle up their nose and just tapped it with a hammer.
Into the bunkhouse?
You think having a lobotomy is funny, huh?
A lobotomy? Is that what you were talking about?
That's what he meant about taking a needle up the nose. Yeah, didn't they tap it with a hammer? Didn't you never not see Francis?
So I'm talking to you like you just had a lobotomy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bingo. Give the man a cigar. Hey. Mr. Henry? Well, you know, another couple of minutes, maybe another 5-15 minutes, I bet you win yourself the George Peabody Foster John Dulles Award, whatever. You'd be in the Broadcast Hall of Fame. You know?
Well, you know what, pal? Good luck with your secession.
Oh, come on. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Why'd you hang up?
I hung up on the guy because he brought up the George Foster Peabody Award and the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, okay? And I know what that was a reference to. That was a reference to the fact that I had some pretty strong opinions. I didn't put them on the website. I didn't put them on the website because I just didn't want to. But I had some pretty strong opinions about a certain little contretemps that erupted in the radio business. Look, I tell you what, I'll tell you all about it on the other side. Thank you very much, Mr. Amarca. But I've had the main reason I hung up on you, man, is I can't speak your language. I don't know what you mean about the common sense cattle down smart ass trail. Going off the cliff of, respectability into the slaughterhouse, whatever the hell it was. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
He said the slaughterhouse of good...
What, good housekeeping? Don't forget our website is philhenryshow.com. If you get a backstage pass, Jack, you are you're visiting a radio show wrapped in a reality show. It's all jacked up. It's whack. And also, as I said to you the other night, I said we will always be here online at philhenryshow.com. By the way, our podcast is, as we say, blowing up. And, I mean, we are getting by the tens of thousands downloads over at iTunes. Why? Because it's a beautiful thing, baby. So check out our podcast, the Phil Henry Podcast, and you can access it by way of our website, philhenryshow.com. Look for the podcast banner. And sometimes people say, well, is it a podcast banner, Phil? I don't really know what you mean. Well, I'm going to show you right now for those of you that are online and looking at Phil TV and HD. Right there. See there, Phil Henry Radio and the new podcast. Click there. And you will find over here, you see the Milwaukee Lion Archives, and you see our webisodes here. You see Visit Our Shop here, Bobby's blog, which hasn't been updated since Christmas, Ted's blog, which needs to be updated. We'll get around to it. We're actually doing a very, very exciting redesign. It's not a total redesign. We're just going to put a different sort of look on our website. We're going to make our members' access area look more like a porn site. No, I'm kidding.
That's what I object to.
No, what I'm saying is we're going to have a members access area that'll be very, very clearly identifiable. And our search engine, we're going to optimize that. It's going to be a tremendous thing. Oh, here's something else. Now that we have Apple compatibility, those of you who have iPhones and iPads, you know that you can bring up our video casts on demand. So tomorrow morning, if you're having breakfast, if you're having lunch tomorrow afternoon, if you've got your iPad sitting there and you are on the plane and you have your little Googie access, you know.
What's that?
That's whatever they use on the airplane, man. When you go flying, Jack, you ever seen that?
Yeah, well, it's called, they don't use Safari?
No, it's called Gogo. That's it, Gogo.
Yes, I've seen that. It's really expensive.
Well, I don't know, man. I use the $9 quickie one. Look at this. I hit the lever again, and I just turned into a midget again.
Man, I bet you that was the funniest thing you ever said.
It's probably, yeah. Make sure that you dial up our video cast tomorrow and watch when Phil hits the lever on his chair and goes into midget mode. Anyway... you'll be able to check out our video cast on demand no matter what time, day or night, and all the other media on philhenryshow.com by accessing us with your iPad or your iPhone. Anyway, I am talking with the folks that do that streaming for us, and we're going to have a very, very exciting announcement to make. What we're going to do is have a video player on our homepage. So that when you are there, you come upon philhenryshow.com, you will have a video player. You'll be able to draw up highlights from our video casts right there. And then it'll direct you on to YouTube, if we so wish, or the other way around, YouTube back to us. So it's all part of a new look on our website. It's not so much a new look as it's continuing to expand what our website is able to do. And we appreciate that very, very much from me to you. All right. So what was I was going to tell you about this this little country town. Now, when that guy brought up, Mr. Remarka brought up the Radio Hall of Fame, I had this guy on the show, the man that started this Radio Hall of Fame, a Mr. Dumont, and I got him on the show, and I did something that should be done more often to people in the radio business, and that is I ambushed him. I ambushed him, and I said, he thought I was going to do some puff piece. He thought because I was I am not a comrade of anybody in radio other than other people that work equally as hard as me and are, you know, devoted to their craft and are not trying to get by and are not trying to slide by and are not trying to steal from people and are not trying to run this business right straight into the sewer. But I'm not out advocating for anybody. I could care less. I learned the hard way, man. You know, you go out and try to advocate on behalf of people, and nobody's going to care, man. So, I sure as hell don't care what happened. You know, I respect people that work hard and do good shows, period. That's it. I don't give a damn what their politics are. I like Randy Rhodes and Rush Limbaugh equally. Now, you say that to the average numbskull, especially in my business, he doesn't get it. Well, I'm talking about how they do radio shows. I ain't talking about their politics. I could care less. For me, it's whether they entertain me or not. All right, so this guy at the Chicago Radio Hall of Fame, I had him on the show, and I told him, why did you put James Dobson in the Radio Hall of Fame? What is James Dobson? I don't understand that. I know that he's had a long-standing so-called radio-type feature show. I know he's had a long-standing presence on radio. Why is that guy in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame? Well, the guy says, he gave a bunch of reasons, and we have these professionals. What professionals? What group of people do you have that are vetting these individuals? Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what the criteria is to be in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. I have a feeling it has something to do with money. I have a feeling it has something to do with how much you're kissing their ass over there. If it's radio, I guarantee you folks it has very little to do with the quality of a guy's show and a whole lot more to do with how much money that cat is spending with you. Now comes the question of Howard Stern. Now, they were considering inducting Howard Stern into the Radio Broadcasting Hall of Fame, but Howard, and wisely so, isn't sure he wants to show up for this because he'd been snubbed, and I have to be honest with you when I say I don't blame the guy. He'd been snubbed many years before. If anybody belongs in a Broadcasting Hall of Fame, it's Howard Stern, and I'm not saying this for any other reason than I'm not an idiot, you see. Some people think, oh, what, are you kissing his ass? No, it's that I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. If you look and see what Howard Stern has done in this business, what he's represented and what he's influenced, you would recognize along with me the guy belongs in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. To say that he doesn't is to basically admit you don't know anything about radio. And that's fine. Unfortunately, some of those people actually work in radio. Well, the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, because for whatever reason they had to get James Dobson in there, and you know as well as I do, James Dobson is so far more influential in radio than Howard Stern, huh? They finally got around to nominating Howard, and he says he's not sure whether he's going to show up because it was an insult to have been passed over. I don't blame him. If I were him, I'd do the same thing. Now comes a series of comments, not just from Mr. Dumont, but from Mike Harrison, who is the publisher and owner of Talkers Magazine, in which Mr. Harrison said, be a mensch and start giving back to the industry, Howard, and show up and quit being the prima donna, and we get it about your act, but frankly, it's really tiring. In other words, Mike Harrison demonstrated in that series of comments that he knows absolutely nothing about Howard Stern. He knows absolutely nothing about how the radio business works. He knows absolutely nothing about why certain people are successful. He knows absolutely nothing about anything. Now, I know we're coming up against the break. I'm going to continue this.
Well, you're really making friends tonight.
When have I ever cared, okay? In other words, what he's saying is Howard's giving back to the industry. What did the industry give him? I mean, they fired him from a bunch of jobs. He finally got hired, and he got a lot of ratings, and he got a lot of audience, and he got and he made money. He made millions. As a matter of fact, he basically put Infinity on the map. What in exactly is it that he's taken from radio? He breathed life into a company. He breathed life into some radio stations. He got fired by a bunch of scumbags And now the cat is on top of the world, and Harrison, sounding like a suit, says that this guy owes radio something. All right, we're going to come back with more right after these important commercial... Oh, do we have commercial? Okay, these important commercial announcements.
You're a real smartass, Phil Henry.
That's what I was trying to tell him. I'm back on the air.
Why is this guy back?
Because I said to Mr. Dykeman that I wanted...
Hang up on him.
I told the guy to be back on here.
I told Mr. Dykeman to put...
Phil Henry.
What I was trying to...
Phil Henry Show.
All right, I got on Phil TV and HD here something from a website called Chicago Radio and Chicagoland Radio and Media. And again, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. I are Phil Henry, and you can access our show online at philhenryshow.com. You can also get our podcast. You can also listen to us on our radio stations. Our affiliate list is available there at philhenryshow.com. All right, so now. What I'm talking about, Howard Stern. Now, this is an article here that was written in Chicagoland Radio and Media. National Radio Hall of Fame Class of 2012 announced. This was in June of this year. Today, the National Radio Hall of Fame announced its inductees to the ranks for 2012. As they did last year, the 23-member NRHOF Steering Committee, down from 27 members last year, broke away from the rules of previous years, passing on the usual nomination process and not allowing any outside or public voting. All right. I'm cool with that. The outside voting thing, and I'll tell you why they got rid of the outside voting thing. It was because of this James Dobson induction. They got such bad ink about James Dobson, this anti-woman, racist, Southern, Bible Belt preacher who had a radio show and stuffed the ballot box. And there's nothing you can do about it now. He's in the Radio Hall of Fame, that they decided that they would just go with their steering committee. Well, who the hell knows? I don't even know who those people are. Here is the class of 2012. Howard Stern, Jack Cooper, called the first black disc jockey. Called the first black disc jockey. Well, was he or wasn't he? Anyway, Gary Burbank, legendary Cincinnati broadcaster. Art LeBeau, Los Angeles oldies but goodies pioneer. Ron Chapman, Dallas radio icon. Luther Mazengale, Chattanooga radio great for over 70 years. And Fresh Air with Terry Gross, long-running National Public Radio interview program. I think that that's probably a worthy group of people. It goes on to say, however, the following. The induction of Howard Stern corrects the long-time mistake of not entering him years ago before far less deserving individuals were inducted. Stern has been up for induction four times in the past. He has steadfastly said he wants nothing to do with the NRHOF and urged his fans to not vote for him. It remains to be seen if he'll have anything to do with the induction ceremony this fall. Well, if you want my opinion, Howard, and you probably don't care, I wouldn't go anywhere near this place. Because these clowns at this national radio, whatever the hell they call it, are business-as-usual radio people. It's sloppy. It doesn't represent any real knowledge of radio shows or what goes into a radio show or what goes into making a successful show or what goes into doing a show, period, whether it's commercially successful or not. It's radio at its worst, which is, you know, we don't really recognize art in radio. All we recognize is sort of ratings, you know. In other words, that would be like the Academy Awards not nominating any movie that didn't make $100 million. They wouldn't nominate Gods and Monsters that had the great performance by... the great performance by Sir Ian Kellum. Is that his name? Who's the guy that played Gandalf?
Yeah, like Christopher Lee.
No, that wasn't Christopher Lee. The guy that played Gandalf, Ian Kellum.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's Christopher Lee.
No, it wasn't Christopher. The guy that played Gandalf? No way. No way.
Well, then I don't know.
The point that I'm making here, we would never have had the nomination of that. That's one of the finest. We wouldn't have had Fargo. We wouldn't have had a lot of these movies that we wouldn't know anything about the movie were it not for the fact that it won an Academy Award. And then we learn about these films and we go to see them. You know, it's like I remember when Hill Street Blues, they were about to pull the plug on Hill Street Blues, which was a great NBC TV cop drama of the early 80s. It was one of the very first shows to begin the resurrection of television from the swamp of jackballism that it had fallen into and almost drowned in the 1970s.
Jackballism.
That's what it was, man. The 70s, 70s TV in America was the worst. And I know you're going to say Archie Bunker and all this. Yeah, yeah, sure. That was fine. For every Ian McKellen, thank you very much, Dan. What did I say? Ian McKellen. I know we had All in the Family, and I know we had the odd moment of greatness in television, but the fact is TV was crap. And then we finally started making some good shows. You got Hill Street Blues was one. Hill Street Blues was about to go off the air, but it won like, I don't know, 5 Emmys. And NBC decided to advertise the Emmys. They said basically when they promoted the show, Hill Street Blues, winner of 5 Emmys, you know. Hey, look at all the Emmys we won. And the show began to garner interest and people began to watch it. It stayed on the air. But do we have to go over the Star Trek example over and over again? I mean, that thing was on the air 3 years, got yanked off the air by NBC, wasn't pulling the numbers, wasn't any good. Oh, gee, guess what? It's a multi-billion dollar franchise now. It's still going. They killed off Kirk, then they bring him back to life. They got to figure out new ways to bring Kirk back. And, I mean, because... So there you go. Radio has always been the opposite. Radio has always just been embarrassed by anything that didn't make money for its dear station managers. So, as the result, it's always been an embarrassing time for all anytime radio decides it wants to, quote, honor its talent, because you want to cringe. Now what happens here? Howard Stern gets nominated. He says, I don't know if I'm going to show up. Well, Mike Harrison weighs in with a series of comments. He publishes this Talkers. It's a magazine. It's an industry trade magazine. And he says, be a mensch, Howard. Be a mensch. I mean, be a man. Be a man? He's going to show up and give back to the industry that gave him what? Nothing but a load of crap. He wasn't even mentioned by people for the longest time. He wasn't mentioned by station managers. He wasn't mentioned by any of the industry people. They didn't want to know he even existed. It bothered them that a guy like Howard Stern existed. It bothered them that that was the guy that was actually driving the engine of radio. It really pissed them off. They didn't want to. They never mentioned him, ever. So they didn't give him anything, man. Michael, you're a nice man. They didn't, you know, figure it out, dude. And the other thing that you said about how Stern, his act is tiring, the prima donna. That's not an act. He doesn't, I know exactly how he feels. That's not an act. What is it do you think radio gave that guy? What do you think radio gave Howard Stern? Radio didn't give Howard Stern anything more than what it begrudgingly gives anybody. When the guy is pulling down the numbers and he's pulling in the advertisers, it has to pay him. You think they like doing that? Les Moonves understood what Howard Stern did so well, and I'm being sarcastic, that when he finally went over to satellite radio, he had no idea how to replace it. He had no idea at all. And when he finally did have a money-making machine in the person of Adam Carolla, he was too dumb to know it. Adam takes off, starts doing podcasts, is making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on podcasts. And the brain surgeons at CBS Radio, they didn't see any of this coming. So what the hell is it that this guy, Howard Stern's got to give back to the radio? But he's got nothing. He owes the radio business nothing. They owe him a place in the Hall of Fame. And if he shows up, great. If he doesn't, which frankly he shouldn't, it would teach these clowns a lesson. Well, that's my opinion. And I got so upset about it. I almost came on and did a video cast this weekend.
Well, I saw the announcement. Why didn't you do it?
I just thought it would be better said on the air. I didn't want it to sound like I was making a special announcement, you know, to be all pissed off about something. But, you know, as long as we have this time together.
Yeah, but you'd say Howard Stern not even going to show up for it? I would.
Yeah, man, that's an honor. I don't know if it's such an honor. I don't know if it's such an honor, this Broadcasting Hall of Fame that has James Dobson in there, because it's redneck, dumbass fans voted this guy in, because these clowns started off on the wrong foot. And in this process of nominating talent for their Hall of Fame, here's a guy like Howard Stern, who, if ever a guy, you know, and again, one of the reasons why I mention Howard Stern is that you have to be stupid not to know what that guy has meant to this business. You have to be stupid. And if anybody owes anybody anything, it's the other way around. That's why when I saw what Harrison said, I was like, what are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? Give back. If ever there was an industry that owes more to its talent and employees than the other way around, it's the radio industry. It's not the other way around. It's the talent doesn't owe radio anything. Radio owes everything to people that broke their asses for years and years and years trying to keep this industry afloat, even as the brain trust, the industry heavies, the general managers, the station managers, and the CEOs, even as they drove this industry right straight into the ground, man. Now look at it. All the advertising money, there's guys over doing podcasts right now making all kinds of bread. I don't know what you guys are talking about. They're cutting salaries in radio. Adam Carolla is pulling down millions. We're about to do a one-man show this spring. A one-man show, a live show. I'm going to do it in front of live audiences. I don't even want to tell you the kind of money we'll be able to make with that show compared to what radio has now become. I don't even want to go there with you. I don't want to embarrass anybody. So I think that here's the solution, okay?
I think, yes, let's get some solutions going, Phil, because you are going to walk out that door tonight, and I don't doubt that there will be several representatives of the National Association of Broadcasting.
I think so.
Are you high?
No, I'm not high.
So I'm going to be met by some suits out here?
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
I think that if they're any kind of men, that they will listen to what I'm saying. Here's what I think they should do. Don't press the issue. Give Howard the induction. Say, we're very, very proud to have you, sir. You know, and you guys need to work on something now. You forget about whether Howard Stern's going to show up for your funky-ass induction ceremony. You guys have a bigger problem. You have to begin to raise up talent in a meaningful way, not in a shystery, cheap, carny, cheap suit way. Don't raise them up like it's a radio station promotion. Don't raise up talent like we're doing a live remote from a car dealership. Start to think seriously about what it is, who these people are that you're honoring, and do it with a little bit of class. And if the guy doesn't show up, start taking stock of why. I'll tell you why. Because he's insulted, and he should be, by the fact that you put hacks and slobs into your Radio Hall of Fame like James Dobson. You made a big mistake. A big mistake. You showed your hand. Now you have to get serious and start treating this the way the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences treats actors and directors, the way the Pulitzer treats writers, the way the Emmys treat television producers and actors and creators. Start to treat the people that create in your industry the same way. Not like they ought to be kissing your ass because you want to have them in Chicago in front of your cheap ass little induction ceremonies. Get serious. Quit screaming at talent for once again letting your ass down. Start taking stock of yourselves and start giving people a little bit of credit and quit making everything so cheesy, man. I was at Marina Del Rey for this award ceremony, and I won't even mention the magazine. And they nominated some jackass who then had a marching band come in starting to promote his business. You know, it was like being at a car dealership, man. It was like a commercial break on a movie in the afternoon, and the guy goes, you know, how these guys have come riding in, like Cal Worthington, I'll eat a bug if I can sell you a car. That's radio. Who the hell wouldn't want to show up for something like that?
I would.
Well, I would, too, just to see the guy eat the bug. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And I guess I'm going to have some suits meeting me at the door. Margaret's worried about my well-being.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, some guys in Mercedes with suits and a whole bunch of busted blood vessels in their noses will meet me at the door and will threaten me with buying me a drink and dinner. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. There goes
Truth
my chair again.
He's our bitch.
I'm 3 feet tall.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, you look like a midget.
I'm not a midget, but look, I think I'll just do the rest of the show like this.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I was just looking. I got on the website here, the National Radio Hall of Fame. Now, they've been around since 1988. I'd never even heard of them. I don't know anybody that has ever heard of them. 1988 is when they first started doing the awards. And the initial induction, they do for individuals and they do for radio shows. Now, I've always maintained, and I think I'm right. In fact, I know I'm right. There is a massive divide between radio when it was basically television without the pictures, and radio today. Radio today was invented sometime around the late 1950s. The disc jockey, the lone air personality, the lone creator of a radio show. That is a far cry from Amos and Andy or whatever the hell you think is good, okay? So I wouldn't know what to say. I think that's a different Radio Hall of Fame. That's like in the National Baseball Hall of Fame, don't they have a separate one for old-timers?
Yeah, they also got the Negro League, too. What, are you trying to say that's not good enough?
No, I ain't saying that, but I do know one thing. They have what they call the modern era of baseball, right? And they have the original era. The modern era is when the live ball, that is a more tightly wound baseball, was introduced. That was sometime around, I guess, the 1920s. I'm not sure.
What does that mean, the live ball?
They used to play with a much, you know how a baseball is really bound string. It's tightly wound.
I didn't know that, no.
That's exactly what it is. They used to play with a looser ball. Oh, will you shut up, bud?
What a child.
Well, you said looser ball.
So? So I said looser ball.
Shut up, man.
Shut up.
Ow.
Yeah. So the live ball caused the ball to carry further, and so they call the modern era the live ball era. I think there's, you know, so I think there needs to be some kind of a thing there, you know. You say, hey, our nominee for one of the great radio talents, well, here's one, Inner Sanctum Mysteries. What the hell is that going to mean to any modern, anybody that you want to have come visit your Radio Hall of Fame? So they had Fred Allen. There wasn't one person nominated in that initial year that had anything whatsoever to do with the modern era of radio. 1989? The same thing. Don Imus, Larry King. Okay, so maybe they did. Well, finally, man, we got up to the modern era of radio. Now, I told you about the guys that are nominated this year, Gary Burbank and Howard Stern, guys like that. But last year, get a load of this. Here were the guys. This is 2011. Here were their big nominees, or the inductees, I should say, to the Radio Hall of Fame. Ronald Reagan, Graham McNamee, and H.V. Kaltenborn.
Who? What is that?
Yeah, those guys are on radio?
Yes, they were on the radio. Wouldn't you, for instance, say, okay, like they have an old-timers committee. Wouldn't you say, okay, these guys are from the original era of radio, but now here's some modern guys. No, this is what I mean about how bright they are. These guys have no brains at all. I'm telling you right now, there's only one thing that they have, and that is the cheap sales guy's way. And I don't mean all salesmen are cheap, but I'm saying that these people that run radio, these guys are no better than snake oil salesmen and cats that run Ferris wheels in the parking lots of supermarkets. I'm sorry. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. When I was reading you that article about this induction, the Radio Hall of Fame induction, do you know how much the seats for this thing are going? Now, keep in mind, they've got Howard Stern, blah, blah, Jack Cooper, whatever. Get a load of this. Ticket prices to attend have increased by $100 each this year. The induction ceremony radio will take place on Saturday, November 10th at 9 p.m. from the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. Blah, blah. Ticket prices have increased by $100. Tickets are now going for $350 each, with VIP tables of 10 available for prices between $3,500 and $15,000. $15,000, the Radio Hall of Fame is charging for tables. Now, I guarantee you that nobody that they're inducting into the Hall of Fame is seeing any of that money. They may be told, hey, you know, you'll get to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like, great. Who's getting your 15 G's, by the way? Well, you know, that goes to expense. What expenses? I have never seen in my life such a scam. And when it comes to radio, man, that's the first word that comes into your mind. Scam. What are you guys scamming now? What in the hell is this Radio Hall of Fame where you got 1 minute H.V. Coltonborn and the Focus on the Family, James Dobson, and the next minute you're excoriating Howard Stern because he doesn't lick you up one side and down the next for inducting him into the National Radio Hall of Fame at $3,500 a table there in the National Museum of Communications run by some guy named Dumont, and we don't know where the hell or who the hell it is, and I never even heard of it. I've been in radio 40 years. I never heard of these guys. So if it sounds like I've just been, you know, involved in a 30-minute advertising against the Radio Hall of Fame, it isn't so much that as it is me wanting to buy a $15,000 table and not being able to afford it. So I think you should donate me one, and then I will magically turn into one of the biggest supporters of this event in the history of this event. I'm Phil Hendry. Our producer, of course, is me, along with my very good friend, Dan Northcraft. Please join us online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And that's where you can get a backstage pass. And I'll tell you, when I say backstage pass, I do mean backstage. Well, you know what I mean. A pass to the backstage of the thing. philhenryshow.com. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.